This is the Ray Hanania on Politics podcast, which explores issues I raise in my award-winning syndicated political columns that run in Chicagoland newspapers each week. You can get information on all my writings and my podcasts by visiting www.hanania.com. Thank you for listening. I always want to hear your thoughts, so feel free to email me your comments. All right, my guest today is Russ Stewart. Russ Stewart has been around 48 years, three more years than me, writing columns covering Chicagoland politics. This guy has been around forever. Russ, welcome to the program.
Well, actually, I started writing when I was in fourth grade, and I think that was before you.
Well, did that include the 3 years longer than me? Because now I'm going to say I started when I was in college.
I thought you started when you were in pre-K, Ray, or pre-K.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I was criticizing the doctors. What's going on here? What's all the politics? Oh, but listen, when you're covering politics 48 years, that's a lot of experience. And there aren't a lot of people like that out there who have been writing about politics. And you write a column every week, Analysis and Opinion by Russ Stewart. And I get your columns every week that you send out, and I'm sure others, you know, do too. But this week is interesting because all of the Democratic, the Cook County Democratic Organization headed by Tony Preckwinkle invited, you know, people who want to run for office to come before them, right, and lay out their credentials. What was that like, the first meeting?
Right. They invited people who are supplicant, and if you look at the definition of supplicant, it means somebody who basically is a beggar who comes before somebody who's powerful and say, please, please, please slate me. But 72 people showed up last Thursday and Friday. That was the 14th and 15th of October. 72 people showed up to apply for 23 positions. And that includes 10 judgeships, of which 7 are vacant right now because 3 have been appointed, 1 appellate court judgeship. You've got 4 Metropolitan Water District openings. You've got 5 countywide positions, and you've got 3 Board of Review positions. And what they do is they just show up. It's a dog and pony show, like I said. They tell them how great they are. They've got exactly 5 minutes. I mean, can you imagine, Ray, a politician glorifying themselves in a 2-minute speech, and then you've got another 3 minutes of questions. And then, Ray, you've got to pay $45,000 to the party to be slated. So it's really a...
So they want a donation of $45,000 if they
Absolutely.
Slate you?
Absolutely.
Is that a new thing, or did I just miss that? Really?
It used to be 40,000. I mean, inflation, Biden inflation has just kicked it up to 45,000. So what you get for this, and it's a good investment because being slated is worth about 40% of the book.
Yes, that means basically it means the organization, the Democratic Party, will tell its flock, this is our candidate, vote for that person. And probably 75% of their followers do what they're told to do, right?
Well, here, you figure 45,000 times 23 comes out to about $1.3 million. And what they do is they have a sample ballot. They mail a sample ballot to about 700,000 Democratic households in Cook County. 700,000, so they all get that. And then you've got a sample ballot that they hand out, you know, on election day.
Now, when you think about it, though, honestly, that doesn't sound unreasonable. If I wanted to do a mailing to all the voters in Cook County, if I were running countywide, it would probably cost me $50,000 just to do the mailing, to print the mailer.
Come on, Ray, not 50 grand. I'm 700,000 households at maybe 45 to 50 cents per piece. I mean, that
would be like 300,000.
You're looking at like 400,000 or 500,000. But then what they also do, the Democratic Party also has, you know, media ads.
Right.
And then they give a sample ballot to all of the Democratic committee. I won't say committee men anymore because that's not appropriate. Committee persons, but there's 80 of them. So you've got 80 ward and township organizations. They have to ship out to each one of them probably, you know, 40,000 sample ballots, which is the same as what you get in the mail, which has a picture of everybody and says, you know, this is the slate. These are the 20, because you've got the Board of Review, that's three other people who are running separately. You've got 20 countywide candidates with their face in there and a brief, you know, glowing bio, and that gets handed out on election day. So
now, if you were going to run for office, you would want to be slated, right? At least in Cook County. There's no Republican Party in Cook County, is there? Do they still exist?
Sure. The action is in the Democratic primary, which will occur on June 28th of next year. And that's because normally we have a primary in March. It's usually the third Tuesday in March, but because of COVID, you know, and the usual problems attendant thereto, it's now June 28th, and the election is next November.
And like I said, though, you would want to be endorsed by them because that really is the only game in town. What's the likelihood that you're endorsed by the Democratic Party that you're going to win? Well, what's the likelihood, honestly? It's probably 90%, right?
No, that's very problematical because if you are a straight white male, that's very problematical because females win in Democratic primaries. And that's because if you look at a Democratic primary demographic, it's about 56 to 58% females. And in Cook County, in Chicago, for example, going back to 2020, you had 1.4 million turnout in the Democratic primary in Chicago and about 450,000 in the suburbs. There's 5 million people in Cook County. There's about 4 million voters, but a Democratic primary is only about 2 million. So therefore, you have a leftist base in the Cook County Democratic primary, and they vote for people, and women vote for women, liberal men, you know, like you. I mean, you're a liberal guy, aren't you?
I'm a Reagan Democrat, a conservative. I'm a conservative. I'm a conservative leftist who happens to be Arab. So that puts me in my own little category, Russ.
Well, what am I talking to you for? I mean, I should just shut this down.
Right now, right. What's the point?
I'm being politically incorrect here. But anyways, the leftist base, you know, the Bernie Sanders, AOC leftist base dominates the Democratic Party, less so in Cook County. But if you look at it, in 2020, there were 10 circuit court judgeships elected countywide. What? Right? A female won 9 of them.
Wow.
None of them. You know, and the only Democrat who won was a white guy who had an androgynous name. An androgynous name.
So people were unsure.
So therefore you get slated. But if you
is that really is that really the case, Russ? I mean, women have a bigger edge these days, like in county races, for judge. Is that really a significant factor? Wow.
Because for the low profile races, and there's 4 water reclamation district commissioner posts up this year, up next year, I should say. Four. And these people, they're making $60,000 a year. They show up for 2 meetings a month over the year, and they only 1 meeting in July and August. So they're making about $1,050 an hour. When you look at what they're doing, plus they get an office and they get a car and they're a commissioner. And of course, the president of the water district, Kerry Steele, is running against Fritz Kagi for assessor. We'll get into that in a moment. But these lower profile offices, you just names. I mean, the name is important.
Right.
Ray Bonanilla, if you ran for office, forget about it.
There'd be no way I could win. I know that. But what you're saying, I think, is a significant point, and I want to make sure our listeners understand that. For these low-profile races, having the backing of the organization almost guarantees that you win, because the average voter really isn't looking at the bottom of the list of candidates. You know, for these smaller offices, they're blinded by the glow from the top. They want to know who's going to be mayor, who's going to be, you know, Cook County Board President, who's going to be the assessor. They're not looking at these little offices that they really don't hear much about. So if you get slated, it's almost a certainty that you're going to get elected.
No, that's not true. That's not true. I mean, you've got to correct the top races. Like, for example, in 2022, you're going to have Fritz Kagi,
right,
who's the incumbent assessor, being opposed by Kerry Steele, who's a black woman. So you got a white liberal guy from Oak Park against a black woman from the South Side who has, you know, a legacy. Her father was an alderman and a judge. And then you've got Tom Dart, who's got three opponents. But when you get down on the sample ballot, there are many people, especially in the minority communities, who take that into the voting booth, and they just you know, scribble the names or fill in the names for all the endorsed candidate. But being endorsed is not necessarily, or being slated is not necessarily guaranteeing your nomination.
That's true. But Kerry Steele, I think, is a pretty strong candidate. A woman, African-American, president of the Metropolitan Water Reclamation District. To be honest with you, most people probably don't even know what the Water Reclamation District really does, other than manage a hole that's supposed to fill up with excessive flooding water.
You know what it does? What it does, Ray, is every time you
spend
flush
money,
your toilet,
they get money.
That's it. That's what they do. That's what they do. So being president of that, you're just getting rid of affluent, right? Affluent.
It's like that scene at the end of the thing when the angel, the bell tolls on the tree in It's a Wonderful Life. Every time the toilet flushes, my teacher said, I got the Water Reclamation District makes money. Yeah.
But then again, remember, too, you've got the solid waste. So let's not describe that too graphically here. All that solid waste,
right,
gets put in a truck or a train and shipped downstate. And that's what makes your corn and your kale and all your greenery, because what you do ends up in your mouth at some point in time. So
yeah,
well, let's not go there.
Right? I think it's too late. We've been there. But in the race for Cook County Sheriff, that's an interesting one. I mean, Kagi, what do you think? Before we leave the Kagi race, do you think Kerry Steele has a shot of toppling him? Because I think he's in a little trouble. What do you think is going to happen in that race?
Well, I think he's in a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
You know, the media, the left media, is already pouncing upon him because Joe Berrios, who he beat 4 years ago,
right,
3 years ago, you know, had a lot of problems in terms of nepotism, you know, hiring all his family and friends. And also, he was taking a lot of money from corporations who were getting tax breaks to reduce their assessments. And he was also being hammered because in the minority areas, the assessments on properties were higher for minorities than in upscale suburban areas. Anyways, he got beat. Kagi got 44%. Berrios got 38%, even though he was slated. So, I mean, slated didn't, and he was chairman of the party at the time,
right?
Being slated didn't really help him. But now,
well, it kept him from losing, getting zero votes, because Berrios was in a lot of trouble. And his slating endorsement actually kind of kept him alive. they should have abandoned him and slated somebody else.
Well, Tony Preckwinkle was, you know, his big supporter. And after he lost the primary, she went in there and bounced him out and got the chairmanship. So a chairpersonship, I should say. But yes, and when you lose, it's over. It's over.
It's over.
I mean, you know, right, right. If you were the assessor, what do you say? You know, you go out to your campaign. He's got over $1 million in his campaign fund, according to my calculations. And
which is a lot. Which is a lot compared to his challengers, right?
$1.3 million. But anyways, let me put in a plug here. If you want to read my columns, it's Russ at RussStewart.com or RussStewart.com. You know, it's there. I've got archives going back to the 2002. You know, that's every week, 1,550 words on politics. But if you look at the race, I mean, what does Fritz Katie do, Ray? I mean, he says, oh, I've got a good assessor. What I've done.
Everybody's mad at the assessor because the assessor, you know, no one's happy with their property taxes. But I agree. I think Kagi is in trouble. And Carrie Steele, I think she has a shot of unseating him. But the other big race, right, is the Cook County Sheriff's race with Tom Dart. But I don't see Dart being in as much trouble as Kagi is. Dart's being challenged, as you point out in your columns, by Carmen Navarro-Gercon, I think is her name. Well, and she's like the leading challenger, right? But I don't. Dart's biggest problem is that they're complaining that he hasn't done anything. They call it sexual harassment, but the truth is the issue is prisoners in the jail are publicly masturbating in front of the female county guards. And they're saying that Dart hasn't done anything about that. How do you stop these prisoners from being degenerates, because they're all degenerates to begin with?
You know, you're right. I try not to think about that.
I know, but so they...
I'm not a correction officer. I don't have to walk there and look at these people. Right. And the whole point here, right, in the old days, like you and I know, the old days, used to have a sheriff who would just say, I want to lock these people up. Lock these people up. I mean, they're degenerates, like you just said.
Right.
I didn't say that. You said that.
I stand by it.
Now it's let these people out. I mean, don't lock them up.
We don't want to lock up the degenerates anymore. I think that's Kim Fox's mantra. We're not locking up degenerates anymore.
Come on, man. We need to be compassionate here. We need to be considerate. We need to tell them, hey, we're going to let you out, but please don't commit any more crimes.
Yes, please. We know you've committed several crimes. Please don't do it again. And of course, they do it again, but we're compassionate. They do it again. We go, please don't do it again. But this thing with Dart is interesting because they're calling this situation sexual harassment. And you know, when you use the term sexual harassment, you're thinking, oh, maybe Dart is sexually harassing, you know, women on his staff. That has a whole different implication of what the real issue is, though. As degenerate as I described it earlier.
Right. The inmate population of Cook County Jail, going back about 3 or 4 years, was between 12 to 15,000 a day. Right. And now because of, you know, your favorite state's attorney, Kim Fox, it's down to 5,500. So what's happening is that people are not going into the system. They're getting released by the state's attorney. Right. Because you know they're doing misdemeanors or it's no bail,
they're committing more crimes.
So they are committing more crimes, but there's less sexual harassment in the jail because there's fewer people who are masturbating in their cells.
Right.
So I guess Tom Dart can claim that.
We've overcome the masturbation problem in the Cook County jail. I can see that.
You've got to be more political. Original than we will overcome. Come on, be more original.
I can see that on a political poster for Tom Dart. But the bottom line on a serious side is Tom Dart, he's been around almost, I think, 15 years. He's been around for a while. You know, the sheriff's office has been, I think, has been run pretty well. Certainly better than, you know, the way the Chicago, you know, I mean, crime in the suburbs isn't as bad as crime in Chicago, as we both know. But what can Carmen Navarro Gercón bring other than the fact that she's a woman and she's a, you know, a minority, and that Dart is a male and white? Does that really carry that much weight in an election?
Yes.
Those two separate identities.
First of all, I did a column this week, so you can go online, and it has a chart of fundraising for various politicians, and you'll see in there that Tom Dart's got $590,927. $597,927. That's a whole, you know, bucket of money. But then you look at who's running against him. Carmen Navarro Gercón has zero. When the D2s were filed on September 30th, she had nothing. The other candidates, Nicholas Zadea, had $500, and then Tanya Ruffin, and this is surprising, she had $40,000. Now, Zadea is a current corrections officer, so that means he works at Cook County Jail. Ruffin is a former CO at Cook County Jail who got fired and sued the sheriff and got a judgment for $800,000 in back pay, because apparently she put her credentials in the trunk of a car. But anyways, I won't even go there. That's too complex. She got an $800,000 judgment, which is now on appeal. And of course, you've got Carmen Navarro Gercón, who was a officer at the sheriff's office, and she was in charge of moving prisoners from the jail to courthouses, which of course people don't do anymore. Everything's on Zoom. But then she quit, and she's now working for the clerk of the circuit court, which is Iris Martinez, and she's in charge of bringing people to court. Of course, they're not coming to court, so she's got a nice, comfortable job, but Martinez is backing her. And in my chart, you'll see that Martinez has got $5,600 cash on hand as of the end of September. So, you know, she is not a real player right now in terms of Cook County politics.
So as you and I both know, in politics, you could be the worst elected official in office. You can hate, for example, Lori Lightfoot all we want. I could criticize Kim Fox until the sun goes down. I could criticize Lori Lightfoot until the sun goes down. But if somebody, they're not going to lose as bad as they are if they don't have somebody that, one, is a strong challenger, and a strong challenger that has money to mount an effective campaign, correct? If you're going to, no matter who the incumbent is, if you don't have the money and if you don't have the recognition, there's no chance of beating that person.
Well, you know, you have to look back at the past. I mean, Anita Alvarez, I mean, you were around then.
Yep.
She was a state's attorney. Then you have the McDonald situation, and it just collapses. So that if you have a scandal, and, for example, Dart, I mean, he's sitting on a powder keg. Every day there could be some possibility of a scandal. Sexual harassment, or, you know, jail escape.
Right.
Or.
But it has to be a significant scandal, one that the public identifies with. Because don't tell me, and You don't believe this, do you? That just because Gercone is a minority woman, that she has the edge over Dart, a Cook County sheriff with 15 years experience. It's just amazing that nobody even assesses what are your ideas, right? If you're going to run for office, what do you want to do to make the office better? It's like nobody talks about that. What is she going to bring to the table? You know, Ted, why is she better than Dart? We don't hear anything. All we hear of is criticism of Dart. And I'm not doing this to defend Dart. I don't know him very well. I don't talk to him at all. I'm just saying that just calling somebody names, right, accusing them of stuff, is that where we're at in politics today? Nobody comes up with a good idea and says, wow, that's a great idea. Let's put that person in office. We don't do that, do we?
Ray, where we're at right now is among Democrats, among the left Democrats, it's all about identity politics.
Yeah.
You don't say, you know, hey, I'm going to be sheriff because I'm going to do A, B, C, D. I mean, right. What do you do as sheriff? I mean, what's your job as sheriff? You put people in jail, you right. ship them to court, you put people back in jail, and then when they get convicted, you ship them down to Joliet. I mean, that's your whole job, right?
Well, you make sure they don't escape either.
Well, that hasn't happened lately. But the point is, it's not a policy office. You know, assessor, you don't make policy. You don't say, hey, I'm going to go out there and reform the whole property assessment situation. You just adjust assessments on property. And of course, if you're a corporation and you, like Joe Berrios, you donate to him.
Right.
He had a whole boatload of money. You know, then you get your assessment reduced. And right now they're attacking Fritz Kagi because Berrios put into operation a plan whereby if you're a veteran, no matter how expensive your house is or how much market value, you get a deduction. You get like a 20-30% reduction. So now they're attacking Kagi for following Berrios' policy. But so identity politics trumps accomplishments. But then again, you can't really accomplish much as assessor or clerk of court. Can you imagine? It's clerk of the circuit court. I mean, what do? You just manage the courtrooms. That's right. All you do.
That's right. You're like a maintenance person.
Absolutely.
With a lot of money and a lot of jobs to help you. Now, there's some people that are going to be asking, hey, how come we're not talking about Kim Fox or Lori Lightfoot? And that's because not all the county offices run at the same time, correct? There's an election June 28th, and then Fox actually would be running, I think, 2 years after that, correct?
I'm looking at my notes here. Kim Fox has got 116,396 in her campaign account right now, cash on hand. Martinez has got 5966. That's all she's got. So when your state's attorney, definitely not. When you're in these offices, right? You know, you really can't take and grab people. It's like the governor, our dear governor, who needs to get a dietitian really quick. But he put $35 million in his account on March 12th of this year. $35 million.
Wow.
So, and he's
money
got
talks.
20, that was my headline this week.
Yes, he's money
got,
talks.
He's got 24,000. He's got 24,665,000. So what this guy's done, Ray?
He's bought the office. That's mostly his money.
Of course it is. You know, so you got 35 million. You got 24.6 million dollars. So he spent between March 12th and the end of September, he spent $10.4 million.
Right.
$10.4 million.
Right.
On what? This is not even an election year, right?
Yeah.
It's not even an election year.
Yeah. Our political system has been screwed up from day one, Russ. I think we both agree on that, right? It's not a great system. We got a terrible system for electing people and for putting people in office. The people right. don't get elected because they got great ideas.
Nothing is changing. Nothing is changing. Nothing's ever going to change. Look at the White House. But anyways, look at this. What does Pritzker do? It's not pay to play. You don't pay him to get benefits if you're a contractor or a vendor. He pays you to pay to play on his team. So he's spending money on, you know, party building, Democratic organizations. He's spending money on, you know, rents, phones, consultants, a lot of consultants. Everybody's a consultant, precinct workers, pollsters. He is paying to play. He's going to spend $100, maybe $200 million to get elected as governor.
And he has the resources.
That's the reality.
He has the money. He's going to be a tough person to beat in office. But I think Dart is going to be tough to beat. I think, and I agree with you, that Kagi, I think, is very vulnerable.
He's not that well known.
Yeah,
he's got an odd name, like, you know, Fritz Kagi is almost as bad as Ray Hanania. You know that?
And listen, that which brings
you're not running for assessor.
Which brings us to a little topic. One of the observations you made when we first talked was that there were no, you know, in a day when minority and race is so important, there were no Arab Americans. I think there's just one guy who's running for office, and that Nick Ziad. And outside of that, no Arab Americans are running. And I thought, okay, that is interesting. There is one unpopular ethnicity still, right?
That's because Arab Americans are not an important demographic. I mean, if you look at the Democratic primary, you got 2 million people voting in a Democratic primary, at least 35% of that are African Americans, right?
Yep.
At least 35%. Then you've got Hispanics, which are a growing population, but they're not as cohesive. But Arab Americans,
very small, disorganized.
That has no clout. No influence, no clout.
So when you say they're not important, you mean it in a quantitative term, not qualitative. You mean to say they're not a significant factor in elections.
I mean, in a demographic term.
Yes.
I mean,
yes.
You go out there and say, hey, the Arab American PAC is endorsing me, so therefore, we've got $10 million. You better put one of us on the ticket, and of the 72 people who showed up last week, Ray, not a single one of them, including Zaire, he didn't even show up, not a single one of them is an Arab American. Not a single one.
There was a, an election, I'm sure you remember, when Dan Lipinski was being challenged by Marie Newman. There was an Arab American running, Rush Darwish. He raised $850,000.
He got 5%.
Yes, that's what I was 5%. Just going to say. I was just going to say that. He raised $850,000 and only got 5,000 votes. I think it was maybe 6,000 votes out of 120,000 votes cast. That tells me that maybe Arab Americans don't know how to run for office.
Well, Rush Darwish, that's not a really bad name. It's sort of like Rush.
No, listen, I know him. He's a good guy. He's smart. He's very, very Americanized. But he ran as an Arab.
He's sort of like you, you know.
Yes, he is. Actually, he and I identified him, and we got a few issues now. But he, instead of running as an American candidate, he ran as an Arab candidate. And I think that's what, really undermined his election. So Arabs, just from a selfish perspective, I'd love to see more Arab Americans running for office and getting elected. Then I think we'll have true diversity. But diversity in today's terms only goes so far, Russ. Believe me.
Diversity is what's acceptable. politically yes. correct, but I have to also too. You looked at the list of all the supplicants who appeared right. last week, and when I say, you know, they're not candidates, they're supplicants. They're saying, right. please, please, please. But there's fewer and fewer Jews being slated by the Democrats. You know, at one point in time,
yeah.
the Jewish community had real clout.
You know, yes, they did.
You go back and I mean, you have the ethnics get slated for other offices, but for judicial positions, you had a lot of Jewish, male Jewish lawyers who got slated.
Yes.
That's not happening anymore.
Yeah. So,
and now it's, you know, if you're female, if you're minority, especially if you're a Latina, that's right. incredibly important because right. people just vote based on names. Like, for example, there's some guy running for sheriff whose name is James Murphy Giulio, Giulio. I mean, you don't want to run
right.
for office unless you've got a name because people see.
You have to have a clear identity, too. Is what you're saying.
You don't have any of that. You just have a name.
Yes.
So if your name is, you know, Marie something or other Callahan, you know, Marie Melinda Callahan, if you have an identifiably female name, you know, which is not obnoxious. You know,
yes.
Or different. I know this is obnoxious here, but it is American sounding, you get nominated. Or right. if you have, you know, if your name is Letitia Smith, I mean, your name is Letitia Smith, you know that's not a Caucasian. You just know
right.
that.
Right. And the chances of being slated today are even better. The world has changed, hasn't it? From when we first got into office, you almost always had to be an Irish candidate.
Well, we were never in office, Ray. We were
I didn't mean to say when we were in office. When we were covering politics, well, Ray, the Ray, Irish you, name used to be used the to big be a real,
You used to be a real journalist. A real journalist.
Yeah, a real journalist means getting paid for journalism, which is almost impossible today.
What?
That's not possible.
That's an oxymoron, Ray.
Yes,
journalists don't get paid unless you work for the Washington Post or the New York Times, and then you're making $200,000 or $300,000 a year
yes.
to write propaganda.
For their corporate bosses. So in the end, there's no independent journalists in today's world. Listen, Russ,
There's still you and I, Ray.
Yes.
Still
you and I. Because like you, I tell people what I think, regardless of what it means to me, regardless of how much trouble I get into.
What you need to do. That's why you're still doing podcasts, not running for the Sun-Times. You
yes.
know that. But the point is, if you're a real journalist, you say, these are the facts. This is my analysis. This is my opinion. And if you don't like it, screw you. But these days, it's not facts. It's what facts
right.
people want to create
right.
and they say if you don't believe these facts you're stupid, you know?
Right, they attack you personally, they don't argue the issues. That's the new strategy today. I agree with you. Listen, we're kind of at the end of the show, but and I want to just remind all our listeners the guest with me is Russ Stewart, Stewart, and his website is russstewart.com, russstewart.com. You can read all of his columns there. He's a retired attorney at law. He's been writing columns for 48 years. He predates me by 3 years. So he beat me to the punch. You're probably the dean of the columnists. I don't know anybody that's been writing that long, Russ.
Certainly
so
not
you're probably the dean.
But at least I decided when I was young, unlike you, Ray, I became a lawyer, so I made some money in my life.
You'd have a job. You'd actually be able to put food on your table. All right. Listen, Russ, it was a pleasure talking to you. All right. I really enjoyed it. I'm looking forward to your next columns. you've been listening to Ray Hanania on Politics. I am Ray Hanania, and I appreciate you listening to my views and my opinions about major topics. As you know, I write about mainstream and Middle East issues. This is my mainstream politics. My website is hanania.com. If you want more information, please visit there. Thank you so much for listening.